I've been enjoying being in a Pentecostal service the last night of the year. Amen. Have you noticed how it just seems like when you're in a Pentecostal service that you're just more comfortable? Amen. You know, that's biblical. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And I tell you what, I'd like for you to feel so comfortable in this service that you get what the Lord intends for you to have this last night of 2017. Wouldn't you like to feel that comfortable tonight? That you could just respond to God how He would like for it. You know that He's got a purpose for this service. He's got a plan for this meeting tonight. And it involves you and it involves me. And I tell you, I'd like to give Him all of my attention. I'd like to give Him all of my effort. I know it's getting a little late and a lot of us usually are, you know, starting to already think about Monday morning by now. And it's a little different. But tonight is your last opportunity to receive from the Lord in 2017. I want to encourage you. Get all you can get. I've enjoyed the service so far. I've enjoyed all the testimonies. And we're just honored to be here. Thank you for the giving and the offering. May the Lord bless you for that. And I appreciate the invitation. And worship with my wife as she sings tonight.
I'm not satisfied to know you in your resurrection power. There's a deeper walk with you that I desire. I'm not seeking, Lord, to suffer unless that is what's required to know you more, to know you more, more of you, less of me. That's the way it's got to be for me to know you better than I do. Not my light shine brighter than before. Lord, I want to know you more, more of you, less of me. That's the way it's got to be for me to know you better than I do. Not my will, my light shine brighter than before. Lord, I want to know you more. I'm surrounded by the evil of a world that's lost in darkness. I may be the only light that points the way. I'm not seeking man's attention, but to point them, Lord, to you, that they may know, that they may know more of you, less of me. That's the way it's got to be for me to know you better than I do. Not my will, but thine. That's the only way to let my light shine brighter than before. Lord, I want to know you more. Not my will, but thine. That's the only way to let my light shine brighter than before. Lord, I want to know you more.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your Bible, you can turn to Psalms number 62. verse number 5. I received a phone call today about 3:30 from one of the men in my church. His brother-in-law was in a fatal accident today, working on an automobile, and the automobile fell on him. And so we immediately went over there to the home there where Brother Jeff and Sister Lisa were. And I'd like to ask you to help me pray for them tonight. I normally would pray over my message here, but I've got some dueling burdens as I stand before you tonight. This man was not a church-going man, and I preached to him several times, and I know that the Lord dealt with him several times. But there's a family tonight that's about to usher in the new year, and they're devastated. So before we do anything else tonight, I'm going to ask you to help me pray for the Wright family. Okay, Father in heaven, we come to you right now. Lord, I know that our words are feeble during a time of tragedy. I felt that feebleness today as I stood before Sister Lisa. But God, I'm asking you right now that as a congregation tonight, and I know these folks, they don't know this family like I do, and Lord, they're removed from the situation, but I pray, God, that you would raise up some intercessors in our midst right now, Lord, that we would bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. God, I'm asking for comfort right now, as only you can bring. God, I pray for Angie, Lord, and for Shane, and for Michael, and for Cheyenne, Lord, for Lisa Kay, Lord, I'm asking for comfort right now as only you can give. And in the days ahead, Lord, that your presence would be, that you would deal with every one of them, that you would draw them to yourself. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I ask that you would help us in the remaining part of this service tonight. Anoint the word of God as it is declared. May it be mixed with the faith of these that hear it so that it can profit them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And everybody said, amen. Let's read this verse. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Could we read that all out loud together? Can y'all do that with me? You ready? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Let's read that last phrase together. For my expectation is from him. May the Lord bless you tonight. You can be seated. I want to talk to you about what to expect in 2018. So what do you expect? How do you feel about the near future? What is it that you strongly believe, that you're absolutely certain, that you're firmly convinced will be reality in the year ahead? I fully realize that these point blank questions may find you a bit off guard. The truth is, you may not have considered such thoughts until right now, especially with the frantic busyness that characterizes most of our lives. I don't have time is a theme for most of us. However, we're here tonight. You know, and I leaned over Brother Hurst a while ago. I said, you know, brother, I don't know what, you know, it's getting 9 o'clock here. And I said, I don't know what your watch night service is normally like or anything like that. And he just said, brother, it's a watch night service. So y'all just blame the pastor, okay? That's usually what happens anyway, right? We've stopped. By our presence in the house of the Lord on New Year's Eve, we voted to pause and reflect upon what's most important. You know, it's already been mentioned tonight, but there's a lot of folks, they're going to be very foolish tonight. They're going to do crazy stuff. They're going to do stuff they're going to regret tomorrow. I mean, there's all kinds of craziness. But we've made the good choice to stop, to come to the house of God, and invest in what we believe is most important. Amen. Expectation is important. See, expectation, it points to hope. In fact, that verse that I read to you tonight could actually read, "For my hope is from Him." Amen. There's a positive outlook when one has expectancy or expectation. It's a positive outlook that as one chooses to anticipate good things in the future. I know that not everyone views what I'm saying tonight, this theme that I've felt led to preach to you about. I know that not everybody in the world views what I'm saying with concern or even interest. There are those who cynically view such a theme as so much fairy tale sentimentality. You know, life has a way of sinking even the most buoyant souls. Have you ever met anybody that had lost their expectation? Did you know that there are folks out there? Let's not talk about this congregation, because certainly it couldn't happen here, or let's not talk about my congregation, because certainly it couldn't happen there. But did you know that there are folks in churches out there who they haven't lost the walk, they haven't lost the talk, they haven't lost the look, but their expectation is missing. They're still coming to church. They may be singing in the choir. They may be teaching Sunday school. They may even be regularly preaching pastor behind God's sacred desk. And yet they regularly arrive at their post of duty with little or no expectation. It's a terrible thing to witness. Solomon reached a place where he declared, "All is vanity. And everything's just empty. It doesn't matter." See Ecclesiastes. Jacob, I mean, this was a guy that, I mean, he had wrestled with who I believe to be the Lord until the break of day. He'd been touched by God. He had been changed drastically, but life began to happen and began to take a turn for the worse. And Jacob reached a place where he felt like there was a real possibility that he would be brought down with sorrow to the grave. That's what he told his boys. Concerning the way his life was currently constructed, Jacob lamented, "All these things are against me." Can I tell on your youth pastor a minute? He's not in here, is he? Let's see him. Pastor was talking about testimonies about year 2017, and Brian leaned over to me and said, "Thank God it's over." There may be somebody, and maybe several somebodies in this room tonight, that in spite of these great testimonies we heard, and I enjoyed all of them, that's kind of the way you feel. Thank God it's over. Because the way my life is currently constructed, it just seems like all these things are against me. What about Naomi? 10 years in Moab transformed her from Naomi the pleasant. Her name means my delight. Or delightful.
It had transformed her from Naomi the pleasant to Mara the bitter. In Ruth chapter 1, the Bible talks about how she went back home because God had visited his people and began to move again in Bethlehem, Judah. And she goes back to Judah. And as she gets there, her friends and her neighbors, those that had known her before, they gathered around her and they said, is this Naomi? Now that's interesting because I know 10 years had gone by, but I don't think that she had changed in her looks that much. But I think what had happened is life had taken its toll on her to the point that she was a different person. Have you ever met anybody that life had taken its toll and their expectation, their optimism, their hope, their confidence, their anticipation, it was gone. And now she her feelings are made painfully plain. And to her stunned neighbors, she declared, "The Almighty had dealt bitterly with me." Now these are but three from a multitude of real people whose real experiences have robbed them of their expectation. I want to make something very clear to you tonight. I don't criticize them. I don't fault them. For you see, I've been faced with declining expectation many times myself. How many times, Pastor, do we mount these steps and we come behind this pulpit with some sort of something on a page or on a screen to declare, and yet inside of us there is no anticipation. We're merely doing our duty. There's a good possibility that you're here tonight, several of you, with some issues when it comes to expectation for 2018. And listen, let me just tell you, this is a great crowd for how cold it is outside. But what I'm preaching about, when I'm talking about expectation, I'm not just talking about, you know, how the weather kind of affects us. Don't we kind of enter into the winter doldrums sometimes and we just like to curl up and not do anything or go anywhere or have any kind of drive or ambition? That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the frostiness that has settled into your soul and it's creating havoc within as you come and you fill your pew and you do your duty and you're at your post and you're faithful and thank God for it. But on the inside, faith is in decline. Expectation is missing. I just want to be very clear tonight. I'm here to cheer you on. Did you hear me? Some of you, maybe that don't make any difference because you're of good cheer right now. But maybe there's some folks that you're kind of like those sailors in Acts at the end of the book while Paul was on that ship and they were headed to where they were headed, to Rome, and they got in that terrible storm. And the Bible said that for 2 weeks they didn't see the sun and all hope that they should be saved was taken away. But Paul stood in the midst of that terrible setting where expectation was gone and folks had lost their will to live and their will to go on. And he said, "Wait a minute, I've heard from the Lord. An angel of God has come to me, this God I serve, of whose I am and whom I serve. And he's already told me, we're not going down. We're not going to be destroyed. God's going to see us through." And I'm certainly no Apostle Paul tonight, but I believe the Lord sent me to tell somebody at Union Road, you just hang on. Things are dark right now, but it's not over yet. Oh, somebody ought to lift their hands and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. This is kind of half-hearted. I'm telling you tonight, it's not over yet. God still got a plan in place. And it involves you and it involves me. Woo, glory. Don't lose your confidence, your hope, your anticipation. For my expectation is from Him. Now listen, because your expectation is rooted and grounded in Him, there are some definite things to look forward to in the coming days. Expect His provision. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ. Isn't that a familiar verse? Philippians 4:19. I appreciate the simple definition here of all. What's all mean? All. All means all. Now the reason why I bring that up is because doubt may cause us to spend a lot of effort defining and dissecting our needs. Now, I know nobody in here does that. Nobody sits down with your checkbook and tries to dissect the problem and come up with a solution. Or concerning your health or your family or your job or your automobile that's making a funny noise. Doubt causes us to spend a lot, did you hear me? Causes us to spend a lot of, I submit to you tonight, one of the reasons why we can't press in sometimes in a Pentecostal service like we're in tonight is because we come so worn out from doubt and worry and fear and fretfulness and all these things we can't control. But let me tell you something tonight. Faith understands that God is willing and able to provide for every one of our needs. My God shall supply all your need. I told myself I was going to behave and stay behind the pulpit, but I'm not behaving, am I? I preach shorter when I stay behind here, so y'all just pray for me. Hey, now, I'm talking about what you need to expect in 2018. You need to expect God to take care of you. Amen. All of you. Amen. You see, here's what I believe. I think that you believe that God can take care of some of it. But I think that there are some, you know why I think this? Because I'm here with you. There are some needs that we tend to set outside of that and say, well, wait a minute, let me set this one over here because I don't think He's going to do anything about that. I don't think He's going to take care of me there. I don't think He's going to move for me in this. Now, I know we don't want to verbalize that kind of thing, but we deal with it. Can I tell you, big or little, God provides for the need. We've done heard testimonies about dogs and bass guitars tonight. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, God knows what you need. God will take care of those things in your life that you're concerned about. Amen. I'm expecting God to help me with my needs in 2018. My expectation is from Him. Although this scripture is in the Bible, Philippians 4:19, we may still have trouble expecting divine provision. Sometimes our expectation is shaken by troubling questions. You know, you can sit in church and have some questions about God's ability. Did you know that? You can sit in the middle, I mean, folks can be shouting around you, weeping at the altar. Pastor can be preaching a glorious message, and you can be sitting right where you are with doubts. Because of questions. Let me give you a few examples here. Can He provide when your resources run out? Ask Hagar and Ishmael, whose water bottle is empty in the desert. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar?" I've always been interested in that question. He knew what her problem was, didn't he? But he wanted her to stop and think about it. "Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." The Bible goes on to say, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." The Bible said her water was spent, but God hadn't run out of his resources. You know something interesting about this that I want to pause and point out, and I'll move on. Do you think, how'd that water get there? You think God said, all right, poof, there it was. Now he could. He can do anything. He very well could have done it. I mean, I think surely she must have looked around for some water. How'd she miss that? But you know, sometimes desperation can distort your perception of what's already there. And you know what I tend to believe very strongly? Because I read this about God and His foresight in the Scripture. I think that when He created the world, that God put that well of water right where Hagar would need it. Hundreds of years. You say you're crazy, preacher. You ain't got no proof of that. You're right. I don't. But I can tell you this, that every time I had a need that I really desperately needed God to meet, I found that His plan was already in place for me to survive. Oh, take heart tonight, saint of God. In 2018, there's going to be some times when your provision runs out, but God already knows about it before you get there. He told His people, He said, look, if you reach a place where this happens and that happens and this happens and that happens, if you'll call on me, I'll answer. If you'll humble yourself and pray, and seek my, come on now, you've heard that about revival priests, right? You know what God was telling us? When God made that promise to Solomon, they didn't need revival. Read your Bible. The Holy Ghost fell, the glory of God fell. When Solomon got done, the priest couldn't even, I mean, it was Shekinah all over the house. But God in His wisdom knew that one day the water was going to run out. And He said, when that happens, Solomon, if you'll just look around, there's going to be a well right over there for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm debunking your question about whether He'll provide when you run out of resources. Can He provide at the last minute? Ask Abraham, whose knife is already moving in a downward arc towards his son's chest. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now notice this. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns, or by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Hallelujah. I want to tell somebody right now something the Lord just dropped in my heart right before I scrambled and got ready to come. I was working all the last minute on this tonight. He offered the ram in the stead or in the place of his son. Can God move at the last minute? God moved for Abraham so that the thing that was dear to him that he thought for sure he was going to lose, God said, no, I've got something that's going to take the place of that. Hallelujah. I've got some provision so that you don't lose that which you dearly, are you listening to me? God has got, maybe at the last minute, but God has got provision so that you don't have to lose that which is so dear to your heart. Let God comfort you tonight. He can provide at the last minute. Is this provision enough? Ask the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, who are hungry at supper time. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. The Bible goes on and tells us that they took up 12 baskets full. He's got what you need and more. Won't you say that with me tonight? I'm not a big audience response person. I like to hear your amens, but I don't have to have them. But why don't we say that? He's got what I need and more. Do you believe that? Say it again. 2018, I believe, is going to be a year of blessing for somebody. Hallelujah. Now unto Him. that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here that's full of the Holy Ghost? The power that's working in you, He's able to move beyond your comprehension. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory, I believe that the God who provides for birds, lilies, and grass, as Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, is going to provide for me. Amen. So I'm expecting miraculous provision in 2018 in such a way that there is no other explanation but God. Huh? Don't you want God to move for you in such a way that nobody can explain it away as coincidence or luck or even providence? It was God working. Hallelujah. My expectation is from Him. Expect genuine revival. It's true. There are many self-declared revivals in our land and across the world. Crusades, meetings, and entire movements have been formed under the banner of revival. Sadly, in most places, hear me close now, I don't want to lose anybody with this, I'm not trying to be critical, but in most places, apostasy, hypocrisy, and outright sin can be found within the church where they're claiming that revival is happening. There's other places that have been empty of the presence of God for so long that calling the location a church is just putting it loosely. Now, due to these and many other sobering facts, the conclusion must be reached that revival is not happening. Now don't go sleep on me now. But can revival happen? Maybe I need to press that question a minute. Now I know what the scripture says. I know about perilous times. And I know about apostasy, and I know about backsliding, and the love of many is going to wax cold, and some of the very elect in the end times, the Bible says, are going to be deceived, and just all sorts of things are going to be characteristic when the spirit of Antichrist, which I believe is already in the world now. But can revival happen? Absolutely. And here's why. God does not take pleasure in the demise of His people. In the Bible, when God's people were in desperate spiritual need, you do not find God taking pleasure in their sorry state. Nowhere. In fact, you read of a sorrowful God who longs for them to be restored to a healthy relationship with Him. It is obvious that God has an intense desire to move among His people again. Read your Bible. I've been reading through some of the prophets, and man, it's dark and it's gloomy. But in almost every one of them that I read, I find some glimmers of hope as God reminds the man of God to tell the people of God if they'll turn around, if they'll call on Him, if they'll reach for Him, revival can happen again. Do you expect revival in 2018? A personal one. You know, sometimes it's easy to believe God for somebody else, for some other church. But do you believe that revival can happen here, now, for you? Can 2018 be the best spiritual year you've ever had in your life? Some of you have been serving the Lord longer than I've been alive. But I'm posing the question to you too. Can 2018 be your best year that you've ever had. Can you experience more of God than you've ever experienced before? Can you begin to witness? I'm getting ready to hit somebody right here. Can you begin to witness the salvation of those dear children you love so much in 2018? I mean, can we move beyond the realm of just merely saying, well, maybe sometime or another they'll come, but can we begin to see God move in miraculous ways behind the scenes? Old time conviction grab a hold of their hearts to the point they can't sleep at night and they can't think straight at work and to the point where they finally say, I've got to get a hold of that preacher down there on Union Road. I got to get saved. Can revival happen in 2018? I'm hurrying. God has an intense desire. Let me just tell you something you already know, but I need to tell you to remind you. Did you know that God wants to save your loved ones more than you want them to be saved? And while you're asleep, He never sleeps. And while we kick back and eat our holiday meals and enjoy kind of some time off, God's not taking the time off. He's still dealing. And He's still drawing. Praise God. Now because of this, I'm expecting a genuine revival in 2018. I'm expecting a divine move of God. Now listen, I know it's hard to expect this whenever other factors come in and we begin to think about other things and other situations happen and sometimes we come to the house of God and half of us are asleep and the other half are mad at our spouses and just everybody's chaotic and it seems like everything's dead and dry and nothing happening. It's hard to believe it. But let me just encourage you personally tonight, regardless of what's happening around you, you need to expect that God is going to send revival. I'm trusting in the God who doesn't want to leave His people the way they are. That's right. He doesn't want to leave us the way we are. We sing that song often. I wonder how much we believe it. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. And you know what? A lot of times we sing that and it's a lie because we do. Somebody needs to believe. I came to this New Year's Eve service tonight and I'm going to leave different. Wednesday night. Oh, that's a good one to talk about, ain't it? Work all day. Tired as you can be. Kids are fussing on the way to church, you know, your wife burnt your toast and whatever and things are just, and you come in and a move of God for you is the last thing on your mind. You need to expect that God can send you revival. Amen. In Psalms 85 and 6, an unknown psalmist utters a desperate question, wilt thou not revive us again? In Psalm 138 and 7, the psalmist David gives the confident answer, thou wilt revive. To those longing, expectant hearts, there is a genuine revival available. I'm expecting personal and collective revival in 2018. My expectation is from Him very quickly. In 2018, you need to expect Christ's return. It's likely that we've all heard messages preached on the rapture. Usually such sermons are structured around facts, news stories, statistics, and other signs of the times, which confirm the truth of biblical prophecy. Certainly this kind of preaching is necessary and effective, for it produces a sense of urgency and awareness on the part of believers. However, this is not the angle I want to take tonight. I don't have any facts. I don't have any news stories. I don't have any statistics. I'm not even going to refer to the signs of the times. I'm expecting Jesus to return because He said He would. I love to study this stuff. I just bought another book on end time prophecy while I was out in Oklahoma at Mardell. But sometimes we get so caught up with all the details of the signs that we forget the simplicity of the promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. After he ascended into heaven, angels brought a reminder of our Lord's declaration. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Regardless, folks, of what happens in the next 12 months, good or bad, we must expect Jesus to return because he promised that he would. Amen. Let me just say something right here. My wife's getting ready to come. These guys that keep coming in the news saying the doomsday is here, okay? Be careful about even reading much of that stuff. There's multiple reasons why I'm telling you that. One of them is Jesus said nobody knows. That ought to be enough. But one of the great troubling things to me is that what that does is it creates paranoia and it creates terror. Okay? And it preys upon people, and many times, you know, there's an angle behind it. You know, you need to go out and buy all this kind of stuff. And there have been a lot of good people that have been sucked into these false prophets. And what is always missing from their prophecy is Jesus. You know, I remember back in 2011 when the guy said the end of the world is going to happen on May the 22nd, 2011 or whatever it was. But there's no mention of Jesus. Okay. Listen, when we're talking about the end, we're talking about the fact that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. It all centers in him. He's coming back. Hallelujah. It's true. We don't know when he's returning. We just know that he said he would return. Christ could well come in 2018. He could well come in January 2018. He might even come on January the 1st, 2018. I'm talking to you about expectancy. Hope, anticipation, confidence, trust, belief. Whatever synonym you want to attach to it. Today we were listening to the Collingsworth family riding down the road. We love them. They got some good songs. And they've got a song they sing called "That Day Is Coming." And my children, they were in the back seat. We drove our smaller vehicle because it gets around better in the snow. So we're all packed in there like sardines. And most of the time they were kind of fussing and not, they'd been in the car for the last two days. They wasn't really wanting to be in the car. That song came on, and I don't remember exactly what my daughter Kirsten said, but they were, her and Isaiah were talking about that song. And all I heard her say was, to this extent, forgive me, Kirsten, if I get a little wrong, but I think she said, "I hope it's today." Now, folks, I know that we know that that's what our answer should be, but I wonder if you are living with such an expectancy that you genuinely anticipate and hope it's today. And this thought is not intended to strike fear in your heart unless you aren't ready. For those saints who are looking for him, the rapture is a glorious thought. Joy and excitement resound in their hearts. Jesus is coming. Paul wrote about this event, "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Oh, let us comfort one another with these words. He said he would come back and he will fulfill his promise. Now listen guys, I know the Bible says that there's going to be scoffers in the last time that's going to say, where is the promise of his coming? They're everywhere. Some of them are even sitting on the pews. But let's not be scoffers. Let's be looking. What? My expectation is from Him. You got, some of you may be sitting here and you may feel like all of this preaching is a pipe dream. I don't care. That's fine. My expectation is from Him. So that when I ain't got no money, I know I'm going to make it. Because I'm expecting Him to provide. And sometimes whenever I've got my expectation in a certain place, and I say, well, that's how He's going to do it, and it doesn't happen that way, it just reminds me of the story of Esther, where Mordecai, I told Esther, hey, look, if you don't go do what you're supposed to do, guess what? Deliverance is going to arise from another place. Mordecai, I said, God's so big, Esther, He wants to use you in His plan, but if He don't, He's getting ready to provide for His people in a miraculous way from somewhere else. I can get up whenever I ain't hardly got anybody to preach to. And listen, I'm not boasting. You understand me very carefully right now. The Lord knows and my wife knows how low I get. We get low, don't we, Pastor? But I can get up. And some of those times whenever I feel the lowest, Brother Heath, I get up and I begin to talk about God and revival begins to happen in my soul. You listen to me now, folks. You guys want to hear a testimony from me real quick? 2017 has amazed me at God's ability to revive me whenever I just felt so low. I can expect revival because my expectation's from Him. And even though 2,000 years have gone by and He still hasn't come back yet, and comedians make jokes about it, and there's all kinds of scoffers out there, I can still say, I'm believing Jesus to come before this service is over. Amen. Because Psalm 62 and 5 said, my expectation, my hope, is from Him. I want for my wife to come if she would, please. So I need to ask you again. Do you have any expectations for 2018? Only you can answer that. Only you. Here's what I do know. You have needs. You have desires. You do. Brother Hill, and I really appreciated that testimony. Desires. And some of them, we may even be sheepish about. And there may be some things that you haven't even dared to pray about because you feel like it's silly to even think that way. You got needs, you got desires. What do you expect concerning those things? Concerning your needs, concerning your desires, what do you expect? You know, there's often a disconnect between our needs, our desires, and our expectation. We got our needs, we got our desires over here, but we just don't expect anything to become of them. It's just the way it is. Certainly things we need, things we want, but we don't really believe they can be reality. Several years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, y'all may know him, Jason McKelvey. And our children were a lot smaller then, and
He's got one of his boys that I think is about Isaiah's age. And we was talking about, you know, those trips to Walmart and the toy aisle. And talking about, you know, we've all probably seen those kids. We've seen those other people's kids who act up in Walmart when they don't get a toy. It's always those other people's kids. And Jason said something to me, Brother Keith, that I've used multiple times. I don't think I've ever even told him this, but it was just a conversation, but it done something for me. He said, yeah, I said, well, he said, our boys, he said, they've learned to not even ask. He said, they know that if we go to Walmart, we'll go down the aisle and they can look, but they know better than to even ask. And Jason's my friend, and that's he's a good parent. But I'm afraid that that's the condition that some of us have allowed ourselves or allowed the enemy to put us into. We've been conditioned to have little or no expectation. Some of you under the sound of my voice, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when you come and you begin to seek, you've been conditioned to merely look, to listen to others. But you know better than to ask. Now, folks, I just threw out a few expectations tonight. You probably got a lot more that you need to be expecting God for. I tried to pick some real generic big ones that hit all of us. You know, I've got some great books, Brother Brian. I've got a book called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson, and it's an incredible book. I recommend it. And in that book, he talks about having big visions, big dreams, big expectations. And I love it. It's great. I got a lot of books like that that challenge me. But tonight I'm not so much into all of that as I'm just trying to challenge somebody to allow the Spirit of God to just give you some again. I don't care whether they're big or small, because I done read in my Bible the other day in the book of Zechariah, who hath despised the day of small things? You can have something begin in a small way on this last day of December 2017 that blossoms into something huge later. I don't care what size it is tonight. I'm just out to challenge you to hope again. You see, whether you want to admit it or not, when you don't have much expectation, that points to a problem that you have with God. Somehow or another, you felt like God along the way has let you down. And it could be that somebody here under the sound of my voice, you need to get some stuff straightened out between you and the Lord tonight before you can even begin to expect again. Would you let the Lord deal with you? Would you bow your heads right now? Close your eyes. It's going to be a little odd right here. This is not an altar call at this juncture. I'm getting ready to let you come. But here's all I want to ask. Are you willing, if you're here and you're willing to allow the Lord to deal with you about anything in this altar, I want to just see your hand. I thank God for the hands, and I worry about the ones that didn't go up.
Because here's what I believe. I think that God wants to bring you to a place where your expectation is from Him again. But you got something in your way. Maybe something painful's happened in your past. And you need a work of healing in your heart. It could be that you've tried to believe God many, many times and it just never has worked out the way you thought it was going to. And your disappointment, it's just kind of driven you down to the point where you're just like, why should I even try anymore? 2018, bah humbug. Father, I thank You for Your presence and for Your anointing. Now, God, I commit the rest of this service into Your hands to work as You see fit. And God, if there's somebody here tonight in the critical condition that I as a human feel like they are, I pray that You would do far beyond what I have tried to do with my feeble words. Draw them by Your Spirit in this service. Heal them. Deal with them. Give them direction. Lord, if they need to make some things right in their lives so that they can get on and get after You like they need to, Lord, deal with them. Whatever it is that's hindering them from expecting You to do what You're wanting to do, I pray, God, in this service that it would get taken care of so that 2018 is a glorious year. In Jesus' name. At this point, I just want to open the altars. Anybody that would like to come, I want to invite you. Won't you come? Praise Him.
As you're coming tonight, church, I just got a text, but they've just, by ambulance, taken Brother Carr to the hospital with heart pains and really concerned for him. So as you come tonight, let's pray for Brother Carr. God bless you. Gather in.